really interesting segment of, and a column on justanoldcountrydoctor.com. And if you listen to the show, you know we've put Dr. Sahail Gandhi on a fair bit. I love talking to him. He really is able to bring it from a practical perspective. But he had a guest blogger, and I thought this was a fascinating story about accepting new patients. So you can go to justanoldcountrydoctor.com. We all know what an issue this is, and it feels like every single week there's a story from somewhere, and it's often the rural communities. It was a big fuss in Minden, up near Miners Bay, where my my grandparents used to have a trailer. So we'd always go to Minden and Miners Bay one or two weeks a summer. And they lost their emergency room. But communities like that are losing their family doctors. So we're excited to have a conversation right now with a community family physician by the name of Dr. Madura Sundarese Warren. And she joins us now on Toronto Today. Doctor, it's great to have you on the show, and I appreciate the time.
Thank you for having me.
What was the motivation in writing the column? I'm sure you've gotten a lot of feedback to it, because it's the first question many, like millions, if not tens of thousands of Ontarians want to know when they call a doctor's office and they ask that question, don't they? Are you accepting new patients? It's a chronic question that we're starting to ask.
Absolutely. So that was my motivation for writing the article. I mean, it is one of the most taxing questions that I'm faced with multiple times throughout a day. I am currently not accepting patients, as many of my colleagues are not, but I'm fully aware of the impact of saying no. I'm in a unique position right now where I am working, having established the Peterborough Newcomer Health Clinic, which was set up as an opportunity to help new Canadians transition to the Canadian healthcare system. And in this model, I am seeing firsthand the discrepancy in the level and quality of care between those people that do have a regular attachment to a family doctor and those who do not, and that, you know, sort of glaring gap is incredibly challenging and has really been a motivating factor for me to want to emphasize this issue and draw attention to it.
So that's so interesting. What do you see as a distinct difference? Is it diet, nutrition, exercise? Is it being behind on screenings for really important things as we get older? The people that have the family doctor and the people that don't, what are the obvious distinctions you'd make?
You know, I think the biggest factor here is navigating our healthcare system is so incredibly complex. I mean, really, you know, having family doctors be the people that direct you to where you need to go to help you figure out what secondary services you need, whether that's the hospital or knowing, you know, what services can a pharmacist prescribe, all of those things, really the family physicians are at the core of it. So without them, people are really lost trying to navigate how to get from point A to point B. And if you have any sort of challenges with reading, accessing the internet, accessing technology, it becomes very, very difficult to do it. And so people are just lost in the system without having somebody help them find their way.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because a language barrier is a significant thing. I think, you know, we were fighting that at times. That was often the argument during the pandemic. Was not understanding vaccine schedules, et cetera, and following up on appointments that were canceled or screenings that were canceled. It's a massive issue. We could all picture ourselves going to another country where we didn't know the language whatsoever, and the idea of hunting down a family doctor would be a really difficult thing to do in that concept.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I mean, I really, you know, if the simplest analogy I can give is, if you can imagine primary care is the human body, you know, family doctors are the heart of the system, and every other organ represents all your other primary care services, whether it's pharmacists, social workers, mental health clinicians. All of these are critical entities. But, you know, the government is increasing perfusion or blood flow, if you think about it that way, to each of these organs while choking off supply of the heart. You know, this is going to be great short-term benefit, but eventually your heart's going to stop pumping. And that's the sort of strain our system is under right now.
Madura Sundarese Warren, our guest on Toronto Today. You can read her guest blog on justanoldcountrydoctor.com. So you mentioned you're not accepting new patients. Give us a sense how many patients you currently do have.
I'm a part-time family physician, and I currently have approximately 800 patients.
And let's say 800 patients see you, what, on average, once, twice a year? I'm sure there's people that come in four or five times, don't they?
Oh, it's much more than that. Yeah, absolutely. And I think within that, you know, it really depends on the age and the complexity of each of my patients, and really how often people access them is highly variable. But that also doesn't include, you know, in addition to the direct encounters where people have time with me, They're also seeing my nurse practitioner. Every sort of algorithm ends with ask your family doctor, and people are picking up their phone, asking my receptionist, you know, often questions about where do I get this? Where do I go for that? And all of that we often don't factor in those discussions and conversations. But my team includes my nurse, my receptionist, and the allied healthcare providers that I'm provided with through the family health team.
Now, I'm fascinated by something. I'm tight for time, but I definitely don't want it to be our last conversation. You lay out something they're doing in British Columbia, and I have mentioned this before on the air, but you lay out something with a lot of data and a lot of numbers, unique stuff, that tells me we need to look more at what they're doing. I find we're so insular with healthcare. We're just like, well, it's Ontario, and this is the way it's always been, and mm-hmm. we don't look at what other provinces or other countries in Europe are doing really well. What's BC doing that we should consider?
So BC has really increased compensation for their family doctors in a creative way. You know, we all have the same challenges. The increased administrative burden, we're talking about 19 hours of unpaid work in primary care, and that is a problem. Ontario is saying, let's actually look at how we can decrease this administrative burden. That's great for the long term, and that is going to take months, if not years, to fix. But right now what BC's done is they've said, we're actually going to pay family doctors to do this administrative work because that will solve the problem for tomorrow, and then work on looking at how we can decrease administrative burden down the road. And right now our focus should be attachment. People need to have family doctors. So what can we do to keep people in this job for as long as possible?
Can we do it? Do we have the willpower? Do we have the stomach for tougher conversations to say, well, just because we've always done it this way, it's not helping the majority of our population?
I think we're at a critical time, and this is an opportunity for the public and for taxpayers to start talking about a topic that is very taboo, which is compensation for family doctors doing comprehensive community-based care. And this is a time that will determine our future as a province and primary care in this area.
Hey, I'm glad you care so much. I really do. And thanks very much. We're all going to age out, and most of us want this to be better than what we're witnessing now for our parents and grandparents. Thank you so much for the time today.
Thank you so much.
It was great having you on. Madura Sundaris Warren, our guest on Toronto Today. You can go see that blog. She lays out a lot of that data. So I'm not just trying to stimulate and pump up the numbers there, but go to justanoldcountrydoctor.com. Sahail Gandhi runs that blog, and he's been on with us, and he tells an awful lot of truths about where we're at with Ontario's healthcare.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.